we can keep this from falling on the floor, we'll be doing good. So our scripture readings this morning are going to come from Genesis 1, 1 through 5. Then I'm going to look at John 1, 1 through 5, and Romans 3, 21 through 26. So if you would, if you'd like, please open your Bibles, and we'll start at Genesis. Chapter 1, page 1 in your Bibles. The first 5 verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, page 1645, if you're reading from your Pew Bible. This is John's creation story. As he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Well, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it." Our final reading from Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. Page 1750 in your Pew Bible. And Paul writes, "But now apart from the law of righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. For God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. So he did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Yeah, keep moving. Tie me down. It starts at a young age. I saw an illustration. One writer, he wrote, he says, I have a friend, Susan, who had recently gone to the funerals and taken her daughter with her. And obviously the daughter was paying attention when the pastor gave the sermon, because he got to talking about life and the shortness of life and, you know, and how we all are going to eventually die. And she got to really think about this, she says. And one day on her way to school, Susan's daughter asked, she says, "What?" She says, "Mom," he said, "if we're all going to die and become worm food, how come God made us?" Pretty deep question, isn't that, for a 9-year-old? Pretty deep for all of us. How come God made us? What's the meaning of an end life? Why are we here? It's not a simple question to answer, is it? All of us, it's different. So I thought, well, I better see what the world thinks about it. So I did a Google search on it. 97 plus million results on what is the meaning of life. Seems everybody's got their own opinion. So the third on the list, I think it came to Wikipedia. And you know, that's an online encyclopedia thing. And it said, in a brief look at that, show that there was
psychological, popular, scientific, theological, and mystical views on the meaning of life. So I got looking at a few of them. The scientific approach believes if you can understand the mechanics of the universe, then you'll be able to analyze the information and eventually determine what the purpose is. The psychological view basically evaluates what has value and what doesn't. And once you find what is most valuable, then in life, then you can determine what the meaning of life truly is. Well, of course, then there's those who believe that life doesn't have any meaning at all. We're here, we live, we die. I mean, that's it, nothing else, right? Well, even Shakespeare said, so I'm not going to paraphrase this, life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury signifying nothing. And I think a lot of people feel like that. But from a Christian perspective, what is the meaning in and of life? How do we know what it is? I mean, we find the creation story, right? In Genesis 1 through 5, which we read in John 1 through 5, which we read today, right? And we find out that there's a creator behind everything. I mean, think about it. God created us. Why did he create us? Why did he create this whole world? Why did he create daylight? God created everything. Guess why? Because he wanted a relationship with you and you and you and you and you and me. God created us to have a relationship with him. Isn't that where it all started? You think about it. In Genesis, even in the beginning of Genesis, why did God create Adam? Did he just need a fool to name the animals? I could make up names. I'm pretty good at that. I know he's Mark, but I want to call him Henry today. Hi, Henry. I mean, we could all do that, right? Well, he created Adam to have a relationship with him, to walk with him, to talk with him daily, right? Think about more. So once he realized that, the scriptures tell us that God made man in his own image. In his image of God, he made them male and female. Why did he do that? Because he wanted man, make sure that he had a relationship with somebody like him. It's all about relationships with God, isn't it? Think about it. So in order to create man, he had to make all these prearrangements, right? Why did he make the solar system, the stars, the moon, and everything around? Well, so that he could have a relationship with you and with me. Why did he create that relationship? So that we could have love for one another, so we'd know love, we'd know happiness, we'd know peace. We'd be able to understand one another and understand our lives and know what life is all about. It's about building relationships. The problem was, we broke the relationship up by our sin. Think about it. I mean, isn't that why Paul wrote, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? You know, and we couldn't find a way to mend it. So that's why he sent Christ. To mend that relationship, to sort of build a bridge so we could cross that chasm. So that we could find to have that perfect relationship with God again. Because if we have that relationship with God, we have that love relationship with him, not only do we love him, he loves us. And it makes us want to love one another in all that we do. And you know what happens when we do that? We bring glory to God. It's all about bringing glory to God through love. A lot of times I think we interpret the word glory wrongly. It's like when everything we do, it's not to make God puff up or anything like that. It's glory means to love him. That's what the word truly means. Let's all love God. love him in the highest form. So if Jesus was going to tell a parable, if he was here today, think about it. Jesus was telling a parable. I came up with golf stories this week. So he'd be saying, "Shell, there was a woman sitting on her front porch, and there's a golf course right next door. And a couple of guys were out there, they're golfing. And of course, they hit their balls and they kind of take a slice, right? And they end up in the brush. And it's thick and kind of in the wooded area. And this old woman, she's sitting back in the porch, and she sees all the stinks. She sees right where they land. Well, these guys got to go in search of these balls. They're looking at these golf balls, and they're getting more frustrated all the time. Can't find them anywhere. They look high and low, and they're in disgust. And pretty soon, the lady yells out, "Gentlemen, would it be cheating if I tell you where the golf balls are?" Well, you know what? We're like her. We all know where the golf balls are when it comes to the meaning of life and in life. The meaning in and of life is that we were created by God. He's the creator. Why? We were saved through Christ, who left his spirit with us. And his spirit is with us still today. That's the Trinity. So, if the Trinity is here with us today, if God is here with us today, which we know he is, the Trinity is the true meaning of life, is to bring glory to God, to love God in all that we do. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity once again to be with you, to be in worship here, just glorifying your name. Help us to love you so that we can feel your love in return, and so that we may learn to love one another in all that we do. Father, be with us this day. In Jesus' name, I do pray.